The book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. 2 Peter, chapter number 3. I preached out of 2 Peter not too long ago, but it was the first chapter. And we're going to preach out of the third chapter this morning. 2 Peter, chapter number 3. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's page 1320. And so 2 Peter chapter number 3, and I'm really just going to preach out of verse number 18 or sort of take that as a thought today. But let's start reading in verse number 14 and get some context of what Peter's talking about. The Bible said, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, we come today and I want to thank you for letting us be here one more time. I'm very thankful for Sister Kim getting to be here with us this morning, and I just pray you continue to touch and be with her. Lord, I pray for all the young people and all the people that are involved in the music camp, that Lord, you would just bless and help there as only you can. Lord, I pray for Preacher Melvin to get to feeling better. And Lord, I just pray you'd touch and be with them this afternoon. Lord, be with the many objects of prayer that we have, those that have lost loved ones. Even our country today, Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, that there would be a turning again unto thee, because we realize, Lord, it's you that makes and blesses a nation, and God, without you, we're nothing. So, Lord, help us this morning. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Take the simple message and use it to be a blessing to your people. And we'll thank you. I come asking for liberty, and I come asking for you to have your way. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, and I meant to mention this last week as well, that little Ellie was with us, and I missed her being here, or maybe that was the week before. But we're glad to have a new addition in the church. And so, got a lot going on. But Peter talks here about Paul's writings. And he talks about Paul's epistles. Now, they had, that they were aware, the early Christians, they circulated Paul's writings, Peter's writings among themselves. And Peter is talking about that in verse number 16, about some of Paul's writings that in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. And so sometimes when we come to the Bible, there are things that are difficult to understand. It's not that we're unable to understand, but they're just hard to understand. Takes a lot of thinking, takes a lot of praying. And Peter's writing about that. But there are most things are blessedly simple and not hard to be understood. And so Peter's writing here, and he's writing up, he's summing up the letter that he's writing to the different Christians, and he's talking about growing last of all. Verse number 18, Peter said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Today's message is a very simple message. And sometimes we just need a simple message. In fact, I know that in several messages down through the years, I've probably given this little antidote about growing. I'm going to give you four things using the word grow today. How to grow. How to know that we are growing in Christ. And Peter, he's writing to everybody here, young, old alike. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 1, he said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So he starts out talking about grace and talking about the knowledge of our Lord, and he ends talking about grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So growing. Growing as a child of God, growing in grace, growing in the Lord Jesus Christ is something that we are to do and will never be done. We will be mature as Christians, but we'll never be to the place that we have obtained to be like the Lord Jesus Christ until we are made to be like Him, until He comes and receives us unto Himself. So our whole Christian life is a process of growing. We're to be growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We will never in this life be what we would say grown. But it is a lifelong process. And we're to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's some things you don't have to tell it to grow. You don't have to tell your weeds to grow, do you? I mean, they just grow naturally. They grow whether you want them to or not. You don't have to tell children to grow. They naturally grow. I mean, I seen somebody last week that I hadn't seen their children in a while, and I know young people get tired of hearing, you know, you'll say, boy, you have grown since I seen you, and I remember when you were this high and running around in diapers, and you know, when you're 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, you don't want to hear that. And so I didn't say that, but I thought that. I thought, my, how these children have grown. We was over at Forest Grove for their vacation Bible school, and some of them I hadn't seen in several years. So, you know, you say things like, we're going to have to put a book on your head to keep you from growing. Well, that wouldn't keep them from growing. They're going to grow. Gardens grow, trees grow, children grow, things grow, and we don't have to worry about here. But here, Peter tells us to grow. Now, why does he have to tell us to grow? Why does Peter have to tell a Christian to grow? Because we're not talking about natural growth. We're talking about spiritual growth. And spiritually, if we're going to grow, we're going to have to put some effort into it. We're going to have to put some feet to our prayers. We will not grow naturally apart from an effort. And he talks here about giving diligence and the Lord's coming and to beware of these things and to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are not growing, something's wrong. If you look out here in your gardens, I'll just use that as an example, but this year in my garden, in my corn, something is wrong. I've done everything that I always do. Done everything the same. Used the same seed. Didn't plant in exactly the same place, but you know, I've done everything the same, but it's just not growing like it usually does. And that lets me know something's wrong. If we are not growing in our Christian life, something's wrong, because we ought to grow. And so what do we do when we don't grow? Or if a child is not growing as it should, you find out what's wrong. Something's going on. Something's not right. And the same thing is applied in our Christian life. If we are not growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, something's wrong. Maybe we are sick with sin. Maybe there's some sin in our life. Maybe we are cold and indifferent towards the things of God. Maybe we are not doing anything in our lives in order to grow. So this is a message that you ought to be able to memorize. When you think about growing, you can ask yourselves, do I have these things in my life? Number one, four things that will help you to grow as a child of God. And I've said them before, but we're going to elaborate them on them this morning. Number one, go to church. If you want to grow, you need to go to church. And I'm telling you this morning, the devil is going to put everything in your life excuse not to go to church. I've seen this 1,000 times down through the years, a young person. If anybody needs to be in church, I know we all do, but it seems like a young person, they'll go out and they'll get a job. First thing, well, we need you to work on Sundays. First thing you're going to do, knock them out of church. I'm telling you, church is important. If you want to grow, if you want to be where you ought to be in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, go to church. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He was talking about gathering together as God's people and to be very careful to do that as we see the day approaching. That's the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're getting down to the last days, folks. And in these last days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't need to be more slack about going to church and meeting together with God's people. We need to be more diligent about it than we've ever been before. Go to church. Well, there's a lot of people in our day and time, they think church is optional. Jesus thought so much of the church that he established the church while he was here upon the earth. Didn't he tell Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Didn't he tell the church in Matthew chapter 18, or tell the disciples, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? You want to be where the Lord is? Get together with God's people. Going to church is very, very important. There's several things you get at church that you don't get anywhere else. Number one, you get fellowship with each other. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And when we come together, what do? We sing, we worship the Lord. We pray together. A lot of prayer, you know, if you study in the Bible, a lot of praying is agreeing with somebody else. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It talks about in the Bible in those same chapters. It talks about if two of you shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. There's a fellowship. There's an encouragement one with another when we come together. It ought to encourage your heart to get together with God's people and to sing and to worship the Lord and to pray and to study the Bible together and hear the preaching of God's Word. All of those things come under the heading of fellowship together. You get fellowship with God's people. You can't get that out here at the Rotary Club. You can't get that out here at the restaurant. But you can get something at God's house that you don't get anywhere else. Fellowship with God's people that have come together for the purpose of worshiping the Lord. So you're going to fellowship together. You're going to eat together. You're going to be edified together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we might all be edified together. That means built up together. Now, you go to church, that's where you receive the benefit of pastors, teachers, evangelists. You know, we might see each other down at the waiting room at the hospital, but the preacher's probably not going to be preaching down there. You might talk together. You might even have prayer together, but it's not the same. You don't go to restaurants. You don't go to the hospital to fellowship. You come to church to fellowship. That's the express purpose of coming together to fellowship around God's Word and receive the ministry of the officers that God gave to the church, that we all might be edified and grow together. It's very important that we attend. Well, somebody says, well, I'll get the CD. I've heard that I don't know how many times. You might get the CD, but you won't get the fellowship. And you probably won't get the same thing out of it that if you'd have been there in purpose. In person. I've carried this comic in my Bible for years. And you know I like to read the comics. I'm a comic connoisseur. And there's a comic, it's B.C. And it's like a caveman. And he has a Wiley's dictionary. And the caveman, he walks up and he got a dictionary open up on a rock. And he'll read that definition. And so in the comic it says sermon. He's looking down at the dictionary there. And the definition for sermon, he has an inspired message directed mainly at those who are not in attendance. I'm telling you, I've given a lot of sermons down through my life. I preached a lot of messages that I thought, oh, I wish. I mean, everybody needs it, but there's probably somebody that really needs it. And where are they? They're not there. If you're not there, you're not going to get the benefit of it. And I've thought and thought and thought down through the years, Lord, why? Why does that happen? Why do you preach and preach and the very ones that need it are not there? Lord, why? Lord, am I laboring for nothing sometimes? But you know what? God is just. And nobody is going to get to heaven. Nobody is going to stand before God and say, Lord, I didn't know. That the Lord won't be able to say, you could have known if you would have been where you were supposed to be. I had the answer, but you just weren't there to get it. If mama makes supper and puts all the effort into it and labors behind a hot stove and all that stuff, if mama does all that and puts it on the table and makes it look real nice and everything, and you don't show up to eat it, it's not mama's fault. It's your fault. If you want to grow, you're going to have to be in God's house where you're in fellowship with God's people, where you're receiving the ministry of God's Word, which God gave to the church for the express purpose of building you up. And I want to say this morning that just Sunday morning church attendance that's about 30% about where you ought to be. And if you go to school and get a 30% grade, that means you failed. I'm telling you, if you don't get in on Wednesday night, you're missing a blessing. I personally get as much or sometimes more out of our Bible study on Wednesday night than I do on Sunday morning. I think it's because that I know that every person that comes on Wednesday night really wants to get something out of the Word of God. But on Sunday mornings, there's a lot of people all across our land that just simply go to church because that's just what they do. They're not necessarily looking for much. But if you come on Wednesday night, you're wanting to get something. And we've had some good studies on Wednesday night, preaching through the book of Judges. And I'm telling you, a study on Samson will help you in your Christian life. I'm trying to help us this morning. If you want to grow, say, oh, preacher, I just don't feel like I'm growing in my Christian life. You need the ministry of God's Word. I bet you anything you don't eat one time a week. You eat three or four or five times a day. And if you can just be a pretty good Christian and come to church 45 hour one time a week, boy, I'm not there. I got to have the ministry of the word. I need, here's what the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Faith will grow you in your Christian life, hearing the word of God. And so number one, go to church. You're going to get fellowship. You're going to get collective prayer. You're going to get edified from the ministry of the word of God. Your faith is going to grow. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Say, well, I watch somebody on TV. Well, call them when you get in the hospital and get sick. That's what I always say. Let them come preach your funeral. Well, you won't know that, but get them to marry you. Get them to go visit so-and-so for you. Call Charles Stanley and see if he'll make a special visit. I bet he won't. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with listening to people. I'm on the radio. A lot of people listen. But that's not a church. That's not a pastor. That is good. But that's not to take the place. Go to church. Number two, read God's word. I have never counseled with anybody that has claimed to be saved and walked on a road to victory and had success in their Christian life, and then all of a sudden, really it doesn't happen all of a sudden, but they fall to the wayside, go back to old ways, that they will not say, I quit reading my Bible and quit praying like I ought to. I've had a lot of people, even friends down through the years that had problems with addictions and alcohol and drugs and things like that, and they'll do really good for a while, and then all of a sudden, you know, they've fallen off the wagon, so to speak. What happened? Well, I guarantee you, they quit reading God's word. They quit praying. A lot of times they quit going to church. And the next thing you know, their life is a mess. Well, that's the ones you know about. But how many of us go through some of the same trials and temptations in our life? And maybe you don't know about that, but you're in bad shape nonetheless. And you quit reading God's word. See, God gave us His word not just to sit on the coffee table through the week. Not to sit in the back seat of the car. You know that back shelf behind the back seat? You ever walk by somebody's car and there's a Bible in there, and that poor Bible, the cover's all rolled up and the pages all rolled up. It only gets fresh air just every once in a great while, and then it's back in the back. If your Bible's falling apart, that's okay. Kim and I have a Bible. We've read through it. I don't know how many times we share it. We like the print in it. And the thing is literally falling. It has fallen apart. I've duct taped it back together several times. The book of Proverbs has fallen out of it, and the pages are so curled up, you can't even read Proverbs anymore. And Kim got up the other morning, and it fell off her lap, fell in the floor. I said, your Bible's falling apart. I said, but if your Bible's falling apart from reading it, that's probably a good sign your life is not falling apart. But if it's falling apart because you leave it out in the hot sun or you never use it, then that's a whole other thing. Read God's Word. Say, oh, preacher, I don't get much out of it. Well, start reading it. A baby cannot feed itself to begin with, but it still drinks milk. And Peter said that the Bible was in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. He said it's like milk for a newborn babe. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If you want to grow, get in God's word. If you get a little bit, you will grow. You don't have to read the book of Leviticus the first time you sit down. Start over somewhere easy. Start in John. Start in Psalms. If you're a child, you can get something out of it. And you'll grow. It's meat for a more mature Christian. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14, the Bible says over there, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's meat for the child of God. To get in His Word and read and meditate. Joshua chapter 1. This Word of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate upon it. Think upon it. Memorize it. Psalms 119:11. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You'll never know the Lord Jesus apart from His Word. You want to know more about Jesus? You're going to have to get in the Word of God. Read God's Word. Meditate upon God's Word. Spend time in God's Word. It's not a newspaper. It's not a one-minute devotional. You're probably not going to get much out of it in a minute. It's not a magazine that you just pick up while you don't have anything else to do. We've got to get in God's Word and study God's Word like a workman. It's what Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You'll learn He's the Savior. You will learn that He's the Lord. You will learn that He is the leader of your life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. How does God lead me? He'll use His Word. Somebody said, oh, the sun was orange this evening, and it spoke to me. I have serious doubts about stuff like that. If you don't get it from God's Word, it's not solid. Somebody else could interpret an orange sunset in a bad way. You might say it's a good way. It's totally up to personal interpretation. But God's Word will speak to you. I spent time this week. The Bible says over in 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 14, the Bible said, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He's our Savior. How come He's our Savior? Because He rose again from the grave on the third day. Well, we serve a risen Savior today. Who, by virtue of His rising from the dead, conquered death, hell, the grave, sin, everything that afflicts us and bothers us and kills us in this life. Jesus Christ has already gotten the victory over that. Because He rose from the grave. He defeated Satan. Does the devil ever bother you? Boy, he bothers me. Do you know what? He's a defeated foe. Jesus has already got the victory. And so we learn about Him being our Savior, our Lord. All these things. Jesus said over in John 15 and verse number 5, the Bible, where the Bible talks over there about, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And you know what Jesus says? He says, without me ye can do nothing. John 15 and verse number 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. I was singing about that this morning. And Preacher David was preaching on the radio. And he asked the question at the beginning. He said maybe the theme for their vacation Bible school or something. But he put forth the question. He said, who am I? said he had thought about preaching on that. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, who am I? Boy, I'm nothing. And I'm sure that's where he was going with it. Who am I? I'm nothing, but the Lord's everything. He's first. He's the Lord. He's our Savior. He's our leader. He's the captain of our salvation. And if we're not growing, something's wrong. There's a defect. Might be that we're malnutritioned and we're not getting a steady diet from God's Word like we ought to be. Aunt Merle come up the other day and we was talking about the corn. She said, maybe we need some fertilizer. That's always a good thing. I said, well, I done it once. I said, I done everything just like I've always done. Well, let's try something else. Let's give it some more. So we give it some more. We're going to grow it or we're going to kill it. We might grow it to death. I don't know, but goodness. Got to do something. Got to do something. A lot of times if something's not growing like it ought to be, it's malnutrition. It's not getting the nutrients. It's not getting what it needs. And a lot of times that's what's wrong in our Christian lives. Why aren't we growing? Because you're not going to grow spending ungodly amounts of time on Facebook and watching baseball games that last 16 innings. That's what I did last night. I cannot tell you how many times. I think the devil is in baseball more than you think. Because every time I say, I got to go study, and it's the ninth inning. I said, I'm just going to watch the end of this game. Ninth inning. Tied it up. 4 hours later is the end of the game. And every time they get a hit, I'd say, Lord, please let somebody win this dumb game. So it's easy to get distracted from what we ought to be doing. I'm just confessing this morning. Nobody else has ever done that. Go to church. Read God's Word. Number three, obey God's Word. Well, we want to read, we want to grow, we want to know what the Lord has to say, but you know what? If we're not willing to obey what God shows us, why should God show us anything else? If we're not willing to obey what God says, there's a great principle. It's in John chapter 7 in verse number 17, and the Bible said over there, Jesus said, if any man will do his will, talking about doing the will of God, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Do you want to know more? Then be willing to do what he shows you to do. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You want to know, you want to grow, be willing to do what God shows you to do. If God shows you to do something, then do it. It might be the Lord would lay on your heart to read through your Bible in a year. That'd be a good thing if you read 3 chapters a day. Read through your Bible in a year. It might be that God would lay on your heart to read through the book of John. It might be that God would lay on your heart to put something out of your life that is there right now and it is a hindrance in your life and you know that it is. If God says lay it aside and you won't lay it aside, you're not going to grow. Obey God's word. What God shows you to do, you need to do that. You need to yield to His leadership in your life. Maybe God is speaking to your heart about starting a family devotion, about reading your Bible with your children at night, about, I don't know. There's many things God could speak to your heart about. And you need to obey and do that thing. Maybe God wants you to teach a class. Maybe God wants you to sing a song, testify. You know, a lot of times our services are not what they could be because we quench the Spirit of God. And God is impressing upon our heart to give a testimony. And we say, well, I can't do that. I don't speak out. If I go to the altar, somebody will think something's wrong. And we just tell God no in the moment that God is telling us to do something. And we quench God's spirit. And we wonder why our service wasn't. And people tell me all the time, oh, I should have said something. I should have testified. Well, if God's working on your heart to testify, even if it's just to say amen. I remember when we went to church in England and it was quiet. It was quiet most of the time that we went there. And there was a couple started coming to church, and I'll never forget his name, Jim, big old guy. And man, the preacher would preach, and Jim started coming, and he'd sit over there and say, amen. I like to scare everybody to death. They weren't used to that. But I thought, well, that's all right. Because the preacher's really preaching good, and I enjoy it very much. And Jim, he'd say, amen. And, you know, that gave me a little courage. I thought, I want to say amen. I want him to know I'm agreeing with what. And so that's where I started. I'd say a little amen, you know, like a church mouse. But I felt like God had had me to say amen, be a little more personally involved in what was going on. Well, go to church, read God's way, read God's word, obey God's word. And number four and last of all this morning, if you want to grow, witness. Witness every day. In some way, be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He left us here. The Bible said in Isaiah 43 and 10, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord. The Bible said in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And we've got the best news in the whole wide world. But we won't talk about the weather, and the weather's just the weather. And it'll be different tomorrow. And we want to talk about who's sick, and we want to talk about sports, and we'll talk about anything. We'll talk about things that we don't even know anything about. But it is so hard for us to talk about the Lord and to witness for His honor and His glory, but that's the one thing we're supposed to be talking about. It's telling others just what the Lord Jesus has done for us, and let me say this, is doing for us. It's not just the Lord saved me, that's great, that's wonderful, and if I die, I'm not going to hell, but you know, it would be easier to talk about the Lord if we would just bring into our conversations what the Lord is doing for us right now. Yeah, we might be having a little difficulty in our lives at the moment, but you know what? The Lord is so good. And the Lord has done this, and He's helped us here, and He's given us grace here, and the Lord is so good. That you might find out that would just be an open door to talk about what the Lord really done for you. That He saved you by His grace, and He'll save them too. Witness every day. Witness to somebody. Give a tract. Leave a tract. Give a tract to somebody that gives you your food or that bags your groceries or your neighbor that you've been meaning to talk to. Talk to them. I talked to somebody yesterday, and they said this, and this amazed me. They said, I live in a small town, and I found out that everybody asks everybody else, where do you go to church? But they said, you know, nobody has ever asked me, where do I go to church? That's somebody that don't go to church. They've just observed that. If I see Brother Rodney in town, it's very easy for me to talk to him about the Lord. Or if I see a preacher friend, or if I see somebody else that I've known. But, you know, there's a lot of people, you wouldn't mention it to them. You'd just look at them and you'd say, I don't think they go to church nowhere. I'll just talk about the weather to them. Well, that might be the ones that we need to talk to. And that person was saying it was because of how they looked, that nobody had ever asked them to go to church, but I had talked to them about the Lord. But anyway, I guess they wasn't counting that. Witness to somebody every day. Many years ago, D.L. Moody, famous evangelist, he made up his heart and he told the Lord, he said, "Lord, I'm going to talk to somebody every day. I'm going to try to witness to somebody every day." And he laid down on his bed one night and he realized, he said, "I've not talked to anybody today about the Lord." And he lived in a Chicago, big city, even then. And he jumped up out of his bed and he put his overcoat on and he went out into the street. And the first man that he met, he approached him and he began to talk to him about the Lord. And he won that person to the Lord. You know, I'm sure he talked to a lot of people that he didn't win to the Lord. Say, "Oh, you can't do that in our day and time." I'll tell you, I am continually amazed at some of our missionaries. One of our missionaries, we got a letter this week. And I'm telling you, every month, and he lives in a hard place. Brother DiGiacomo up in Boston. He wins somebody to the Lord every month. Seems like. Say, "Well, I wish I could do that." Well, I'll tell you, nobody's going to do that if they don't first talk to somebody. Talk to somebody about the Lord. Witness every day. Drop some gospel seed in some way. Talk to somebody on purpose about the Lord. You say, "Preacher, I don't know. I don't think I'm growing. I'm stagnant. My religious feeling is not there. I don't feel the warmth. I don't feel the presence of the Lord like I want to." Well, you're probably not growing. If you're saved, you ought to be growing. And if you will put forth some effort into growing, you know what you'll find out? You'll find out that you'll grow. You'll grow. You may grow a little at a time. You may grow for a time in leaps and bounds. But you'll grow. You'll steadily grow your whole life. I was thinking about this message. You know who kept coming to my mind? Is Brother Dwight. 100 years old. I can hear him talking about still not as close to the Lord as I want to be. I love the Lord. I want to know Him more. To live that long, and he still knew there's more to learn. There's more to grow. There's more to tell. More to tell. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, and I